Well, good morning, everyone. It really is great to be with you. Do you know, we began this year all together. On New Year's Day 2017, we had an all together time, which was just wonderful. And isn't it great that we can finish the year together in this way? And I don't know about you, I know God really loves it when we come together in unity. And this is a great expression of our unity when we come as one people, as one church, to worship him. I know it's difficult to do it on a more regular basis, but when we do, I really believe it puts a huge smile on God's face and gladdens his heart when he sees us actually doing what we say we believe, and that's being united, being as one. And I sincerely hope that your Christmas was peaceful, joyful, and restful. Was it? Well, thankfully, it's not all over yet. There's still half a week to go, and may the celebrations continue. As Esther has already referred to, throughout Advent, across the parish, we were looking at journeys, and within that theme, we were looking at different characters in the Nativity story, who upon witnessing the news of God's promised Messiah about to be fulfilled, they made a journey that we, 2 millennium later, continue to remember and learn from. 2 weeks ago, we recalled the journey that Mary made to her cousin Elizabeth. Then on Christmas Eve, we looked at the story of the shepherds who journeyed from the hillsides of Judea to Bethlehem to see the newborn Christ. Today, in closing this series, we'll explore together something of the journey that the Magi, or the astrologers who traveled to Bethlehem from the east, both to witness this prophetic fulfillment of God becoming man and to worship him, our Saviour. And as we look at this story together, I'll refer to some of the similarities and the differences from within the story of the shepherds and use them alongside today's narrative as a way of contrasting and making two important and valid points. Now, the first thing that struck me about both of these stories of the shepherds and the Magi was that the revelation they experienced took place at night time during the hours of darkness. I don't know whether you've ever thought about that, but that really kind of jumped out at me. Now, for the shepherds, night time was not their preferred working hours. Daytime was best for them, as it was easier to spot predators who may attack the sheep they were looking after. And in the daytime, they could see more clearly. They were less likely to stumble and fall if they had to go after the sheep. Yet nighttime for them was part and parcel of the job, even if it was unsociable and dangerous and something they never looked forward to. They had to do it. Interestingly, God chose such a time as this for the angel to appear to them when they were surrounded and covered by darkness, just minding their own business, looking after the sheep, hoping that they would get through the night without any serious incidents. Now, by contrast, the Magi were the opposite. They were the night shift. They loved the night. They were people that didn't just want to get through the night. They couldn't wait for the darkness to come, because when nighttime came, they could look at the stars. They could gaze at them. They could study them. They could gaze at their configurations until their hearts were content, and they plotted the stars on charts. These people came alive at night. Nothing like me. They were night owls. They loved the nighttime. Unlike the unlearned shepherds, these men were famed for their knowledge. They were the professors of the day, scholars of their time, the scientists, the mathematicians, the philosophers, the doctors, as well as the legal authorities of their culture. Just as a point of interest, it is from the word magi that we get our word magistrate, Peter, isn't it? Yeah. we get that word from. Anyhow, these learned people took a great interest in other cultures and stories. They studied sacred books with a desire to learn and to know about prophecies. And more than likely, they would have been familiar with Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah's arrival. Perhaps they knew of Balaam's fourth oracle in Numbers 24:17 that says, "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." Now, all this led them to pursue a lifelong quest to find the meaning of life. They were spiritually hungry. So when they saw the star, they followed it. And that was the light that drew them to Jesus. That special light, that astrological phenomenon, which Matthew records in verse 2 as his star, may well have been God's Shekinah glory that shone in the darkness and directed them to the very place where Christ was in Bethlehem. But I want us to think for a moment about darkness, because it either was or still is a spiritual reality that we once existed or still exist in, as living in darkness is living without God. It's a selfish way of living with I at the center. The Bible refers to lives lived in such a way as living in darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John 1:5. Therefore, if we do not know God personally through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is himself the light of the world, then we are living in darkness, whether we know it or whether we don't. But you know, the good news is that God doesn't want any of us to live in darkness. He wants all of us to be brought into the kingdom of his light. Now, we might liken ourselves to the shepherd who don't like darkness, but we just get on with life, doing what we do, what has to be done. Some of us might not like that kind of darkness, but we're just going through it. And there may be some of us who live that way, yet when someone told us about Jesus, we had to go and investigate, to check it out, to find out more about Jesus for ourselves. We may, if not, identify ourselves with the Magi, who use the darkness intentionally, as in their darkness they were looking for signs that would eventually bring them to the light and into life. They were on a spiritual journey, seeking truth. They were hungry for something that only Jesus could satisfy. They were what we might call seekers. Our scripture verse for last year is very apt for the Magi, because if you remember, it says, "You will find me if you search for me with all of your heart." Now, whether we may see ourselves as shepherds, just getting on with life in the darkness, or the Magi, on a spiritual journey looking for the one who can scatter the darkness we exist in and bring us into that light, the stories of the shepherds and the Magi testify that the good news of Jesus is for everyone, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, near or far. Jesus came to bring each of us out of spiritual darkness into his glorious light. You see, Christ is for everyone, as the angel told the shepherds that Christmas night. From this, we can learn two things. First, that whatever situation we are in, if we have not accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are existing in darkness. We are not living. Second, God is on your case. I want you to know that. If you don't know it, God is certainly on your case. And he will give you a revelation that will draw you to his Son, because he wants all people to be saved and come to acknowledge the truth, as we read in 1 Timothy 2:4. You know, I was once in spiritual darkness. I knew personally there was more to life than what I was experiencing. And so I lived in pursuit of trying to discover what that was. I tried many, many different things, all came to no avail. You name it, I probably tried it. Trying to fill that emptiness that we all have without Jesus. There's a void there if Jesus isn't filling that. We can put something in there, but it's a round peg in a square hole. It will eventually come out. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can drive away that darkness and fill us with light and life and truth and love and all that he wants us to know. And then at the age of 34, not that many years ago, I was invited by my wife to come to St. Andrew's. And that was the beginning of my journey of faith in Christ. And it was the best decision I ever made. I have to say, the best decision I ever made. Coming from darkness into the light of Christ was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I promise you, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, it will be the best decision you ever make. And what a wonderful day to make it on the last day of 2017. To go into 2018 with Jesus as number one in your life. There is no better thing you can do. I'll promise you that. And if you want to find out more, we've already heard that there's an offer course running at St. Andrew's. So I'm going to plug that again. We really would love loads and loads of people who don't know Jesus to come to faith in him through this offer course. And if you haven't invited somebody, I'm not going to make anybody feel ashamed by saying, put your hands up, Sharon, I promise I wouldn't do that. But I really would love you to pray today. If you haven't thought of somebody that you think might really benefit from coming to Alpha, again, you can ask any questions you want. It doesn't matter where you are on that journey. If you're even not thinking about it, come along and find out. If you know somebody, a neighbor, a family friend, or somebody you work with who you believe would benefit from it, please invite them. Probably the best thing you'll ever do if you haven't, if you're a Christian yourself, the best thing you can ever do, bring somebody else into the kingdom. And I want to finish then by making a second key point, which is like the Magi, worship is our primary response to an encounter with Jesus. Worship is our primary response to an encounter with Jesus. The Magi, Matthew tells us in verse 11, says they bowed down and they worshipped. The first thing they did, they bowed down. That's humility. When you bow down, that's humbling yourself. They humbled themselves before the King of Kings in worship. Immediately, they saw Jesus. And that was the reason they told Herod for their long journey, was to come and worship. Verse 2, we come to worship Jesus. These rich and learned magi brought specially chosen symbolic gifts that spoke volumes of who Christ was and is and will forever be. The gold was a symbol of his deity, his kingship, and of his glory. The frankincense suggests the fragrance of the life of sinless perfection, and myrrh indicative of the suffering that he would endure in bearing the sin of the world. But what about us? What are we going to bring before the King? What can we offer? How should we be celebrating this Christmas time? With worship. That's how. That's all that Jesus wants, is our worship. A totaling offering of ourselves to him. Not just a New Year's Eve thing today, or an occasional visit to church a few times a month to come and sing songs to Jesus, but an everyday thing, a deliberate, intentional surrendering of our lives for the glory and honor of Christ's name. It's to say, Jesus, you are on the throne. Not me, not my job, not my home, not my family, but you, you're on the throne of my heart. You command, and I will willingly obey. That's worship. It's more about singing songs. Singing love songs to God is great. He loves to hear that, but he wants our lives. Not just a tiny little bit, not 50%, 70%, 95%, 99%, but 100%. He wants us all. He wants all of us. And when we surrender in that way, that's what brings him honor and glory. Maybe some of us here this morning have a lot of biblical knowledge, but unlike the Magi, have not been acting on it. Maybe some of us have been raised in a Christian home, but never decided to follow Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit has stirred in you and brought you to a point where you've been convicted this morning that Jesus is indeed Lord and Savior, the only one who can bring you out of darkness into light and into truth, then please don't go without being prayed for and committing your life to him. Because this is the best thing today that you'll ever do. Even if you're not sure, you think you might have done, be sure. It's important that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wants all of your life. As an act of worship. When you're at work. When you're at home. When you're taking his kids to school. Whatever you're doing, it makes no difference. We can worship God in that way. He wants all of ourselves all of the time. Living a full and an abundant and an eternal life that Jesus came to give each one of us. And he wants us all to receive that today. And if you haven't, I urge you to do that before you go. Amen.